Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is, what day is it? Thursday, March 3rd, around midnight Eastern, actually. It is time for another Championship Week video notebook. Day
Games
number
aren't over yet.
four. Day number four, or day number D, according to Stilico, or day
Games aren't
number.
over yet.
All right, then just
These
leave,
games
Briggs,
aren't
and we'll.
over in it. Well, I would, but I'm locked in a damn bunker.
He
Well,
is
shouldn't you
locked
have
in.
your lights out by now?
No,
The games aren't over yet.
we
They
got lights on the deck.
they're gonna cut off right after the end of this San Diego Pepperdine game.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got David Griggs up here and Rocco Miller for joining us from Bracketeer.org. Down below, we got John Slica and David Dorman. We've got a lot to get to here. We're going to be reviewing and all the conference tournament games for the day, previewing all the games coming tomorrow. But before that, a little bit of news and notes. I thought some stuff away from the conference tournament, some notable results from beginning late last night, actually. Rocco, Wyoming suffers a loss to UNLV. And are the Cowboys in a little trouble here?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they've I think in Wyoming's defense, they got dealt a very difficult hand. If you look at their schedule, they've had to play four games in the last 7 days, and that was due to a couple of these being makeup games, and they weren't exactly walks in the park. It was Colorado State, Nevada, San Diego State, and then UNLV, who's also on fire. So for the Pokes, I give them credit. All they haven't been blown out by anybody except Arizona way back when. And these games have all been real battles, but they fell short in three out of the four. And now they've slipped all the way down to a net of 47. They're a team that, they only have two wins against the field, and they're both in Laramie. And they've got a lot of pressure on them to win that Fresno State finale in Laramie to at least secure the four seed. I think they could actually get the three seed if they win that, but either way, they are right down there getting close to Dayton territory. So it'd be important to make sure Wyoming gets that win Sunday, or sorry, Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday against Fresno State. A couple of notable games from tonight. I guess we should start Griggs with Ohio State. Blew out Michigan State. I guess Michigan State tried to make a run late, but I think it was 11-0 before everyone even turned the game on.
Yeah, and given that Ohio State had slipped up not once but twice to teams that are nowhere near the field, it was sort of
Nebraska.
a healthy win from them. And Michigan State continues to kind of tailspin, but this is we've seen this from Michigan State before. So they'll get into the tournament as a 10 seed and go to the Final Four.
Dorman, we saw a couple teams get real tough, surprising tests. Illinois got a tough test from Penn State, pulled it out. Arizona got a test from Stanford and pulled it out.
Yes, neither played their A game. Illinois was actually in doubt with about 2 minutes to go. They got a few big rebounds and a stop, but Illinois was definitely on the verge of taking a bad home loss. Arizona, Stanford played well tonight. Stanford hit some big shots in the first half. Arizona went ice cold for about 6, 7 minutes in the first half, but then Arizona pulled away in the second half to win comfortably. And the one seed is looking really, really good right now for Arizona.
The couple other notable games here. Stalika, Iowa picks up a win at Michigan, and Kansas picks up beats TCU. I do have Michigan's profile on the screen here right now. Michigan, how bad does that loss hurt?
Well, this one, they're going to end up getting the road split with Iowa right here. Now with Ohio State coming up in the finale, that's going to be their last chance to get a really significant win before going back to the Big Ten tournament and ultimately end up getting Juwan Howard back right here. This is a team that's actually dangerously close to going 16-14, which would be, I think, the bare minimum just to be under consideration right here. Their strength of schedule is going to help them right here. When you can, it's not just the Iowa win, it's also the Purdue wins, the win at Indiana and San Diego State. There's reason to hope, but there's also going to be a lot of reason for concern for the Wolverines.
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, they really really could use that Ohio State win if they want to feel like that they're in the tournament. And that's not an easy place to win unless you're Nebraska.
Right, unless you're Nebraska.
Kansas got a heck of a test at home from TCU.
TCU really playing well these last week or two. I know they didn't win at Kansas, but they were at Kansas, and they were really in that game for a lot of that game, really all the way to the end.
And Rocco, just as about to go final, or just did go final, Oregon, very bad loss at your Washington Huskies. That might be the end of their season here for an at-large bid, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a road loss, and the Huskies are quad 2B, but yeah, I mean, Oregon's has had so many head-scratching losses. They piled up quite a few now. That's another one to the list. They'll go to Pullman this weekend, and then, you know, the way the Pac-12 tournament shakes out, you know, I don't know that they'll get a good opponent until the semifinals, which would be Friday. And Oregon's just all over the place. Like, one night they look amazing. The next night they look completely lost. And it's an impossible team to select, I think, after tonight where it stands. But who knows, if they make a run to the finals or something, you can't fully cross them off the board yet.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that also. A few under-the-radar notes. Congrats to Montana State. Captures the Big Sky regular season title. And how about Iona going to Manhattan and losing a game, Griggs?
Yeah, I think we can all agree that they need the auto bid now. Manhattan-Iona game, it rarely disappoints, and it didn't tonight. It's one of the best five or six under-the-radar rivalries. It's phenomenal. I hope they play again.
And speaking about you, Mr. Griggs, you are in our puppet bunker, correct?
Yes. Yes, but I'll be leaving it tonight because of what we agreed upon earlier.
Well, I just wanted to, you know, to give a little everybody heads up here because you know, I made a beautiful look at this beautiful plate of fried chicken.
Looks great. Well, yeah, I'll be eating that
because you're in there. Now, unfortunately, Griggs, since you were in the bunker and nobody could get in there either, at least not with this good food, I ate this, but I got you some fried chicken here. It's okay.
Chad, I'm leaving the bunker. It doesn't help me at all. Food. Like it does nothing to enhance my genius and expertise being locked in here.
Let's see if I can get this screen to work. Here we go. Let's get to the conference tournament games. Let's start with the Sun Belt, which was – had amazing. A heck of a day today. This was it was the fun belt today. Salika, let me start with you. The very first game here, Louisiana and Texas Arlington. Louisiana had a lead, but Arlington came storming back late.
Yeah, this would be a chance right here for Arlington. Well, it was a chance for Arlington to sneak out of the blue right here, but unfortunately, they're going to miss out on the chance to meet their rival Texas State right here.
Yeah, and then we followed that up with a heck of a game, Dorman, between South Alabama and Little Rock that ended up being another 12-5 upset, the second we've already seen this championship week.
It was a great game. It was tight the whole way. Little Rock pulled it out. Last night, I thought South Alabama, the winner of the South Alabama-Troy game was my pick to win it all. South Alabama doesn't get out of the first round. Little Rock now moves on to play Troy on Saturday in the quarters.
Hey, Rocco, I got to ask you, you know, we called them the Little Roccos, obviously.
Little Roccos.
And how about the freshman, Jordan Jefferson, 24 points for this team that got blown out by South Alabama just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, tremendous performance for him. I think the big news here is that Nikola Maric came back the last game of the season. Hasn't been 100% effective himself, but he does a lot to distract the opposing defense, and that frees up guys like Jefferson to go off and get better looks. I mean, Jefferson had 8 threes today. That's all of his points, right? 8 for 9. So, so I think when you have, Maric is one of the best bigs in the league, 6'10 guy and very experienced. It just frees everything up for everybody else. And most of the conference season, Little Rock was buried because they could focus on the guards and they were just a way smaller team. And I think they've got a chance to maybe even knock off Troy the way they played today.
It would not shock me. They played incredible. Griggs, the bottom two games were not quite as close this evening. Beginning
still
with
good games.
Arkansas State over ULM and then Georgia Southern holding off Coastal Carolina.
Yeah,
upsetting Coastal Carolina, actually.
Yeah. So that one was kind of a surprise. Louisiana Monroe really stuck with Arkansas State, had a chance to beat them. So teams that were kind of just sort of anemic all year long coming to life in the opening round and the Little Roccos and Monroe, but Arkansas State moving on. Now, tomorrow – or not tomorrow, Saturday, excuse me. I'm expecting a very chalky day because one thing that we've seen from this conference all year, it's that the chalk has always held from week to week.
Uh-huh. That has been the exact opposite. We would call this conference chaos all season. At this point, I would not be surprised to see Georgia Southern and Little Rock in the title game.
I would.
That's how this, and it would be perfect for the way this conference has been.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Horizon League, which was in the quarterfinal round today, and Rocco, I think there was one good game here, maybe of the entire four of them, and then that was a blowout in the first half. It got close in the second.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we were a little spoiled last year. All four of the quarterfinals were epic and memorable. Had that wild Wisconsin-Milwaukee upset in the game against Wright State last year. And so I think a little irrationally, a lot of fans out there expected big things from today's games. But, you know, the teams that got through, I'm not very surprised. You know, I was a little surprised Robert Morris didn't put up a bigger fight, mainly because, you know, Andy O'Toole. Really? Well, yeah, I mean, Andrew Toole, he's been such a good postseason coach. Obviously, this is a step up from the NEC, but they looked really good against Youngstown. I thought Cleveland State was also stumbling down the end, but anyway, they took care of their business. I also thought we've been on this Purdue Fort Wayne train. They got it done, did just enough to get by UIC. Northern Kentucky dominating, a little bit of a surprise, I guess, that it wasn't closer. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think we've got a really solid semifinal on both sides. Yeah,
well, and part of that is the structure, Rocco. Last year, we didn't have crowds like we did this year. And,
true.
You know, I just think that these, first of all, they were the better teams. And secondly, they were at home. So it isn't surprised that the chalk holds. That's why they sort of set it up this way.
The game that also really was interesting, the Wright State Oakland game. Oakland was up, had about a 10-12 first half lead. They looked like they were going to run Wright State right out of their own building.
And yeah, Wright State was asleep in the first half, but I think halftime.
This game was kind of a microcosm of Oakland's season. It was a great first half and an awful second half.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chad, like Oakland for the longest time looked like the cream of the crop, not only in the horizon, but one of the best mid-major under-the-radar teams out there.
Oh, yeah.
And, the way they fell apart late, I think, is a testament to their depth. You know, they rely so heavily on Moore, Townsend, and Kane. And you look at even tonight, they basically only had one bench player play. And that just catches up with you over, you know, college basketball out of every college sport in NCAA has the longest season. 5 months long, and this is the kind of stuff that will happen to you if you don't have depth.
Dorman, it was quarterfinal day in the A-Sun today, and at the end of the day, we did see chalk holding. I don't know that it was exactly any blowouts across the board, especially that incredible Liberty-Lipscomb game we saw.
Yeah, Lipscomb hung tough, actually had a lead at some point in the second half, but Liberty toughed it out down the stretch, got a few really big stops, and the Fighting Flames will move on. With the chalk holding, we got a great semifinal Saturday. Jack State will fight, and Bellarmine versus Liberty. This is setting up to be an incredible Saturday. Really excited for these two semis. So the chalk holds today, but sets up an incredible Saturday.
Yeah, and then the big crosstown rivalry between Jack State and Jax.
Yeah, Jacksonville, big in-state, right? Big
crosstown. Big, yeah.
But you got to remember here, Bellarmine is ineligible. They are still a transitional team. If they win this event, Jacksonville State, as the top team in the conference, gets the automatic bid. So if we end up with Bellarmine-Jacksonville State game, it will be a meaningless game, basically.
In terms of the bid. It's for a conference championship, but as far as the tournament goes, it doesn't mean anything.
They may not be eligible, but can we at least agree that they're best, that they're the best team in the city of Louisville right now?
I think Louisville fans would agree with you. That was on Louisville Twitter, praising Billerman for being the best team in the city.
There was a great atmosphere at Freedom Hall this evening. That was Florida Gulf Coast was in that game. The final score is a little deceiving. It was tight till about 3 minutes to go, but Freedom Hall was a rockin', and that was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I was also impressed with Central Arkansas. They hung with Jackson. They came back with Jacksonville. That I was pretty impressed with them.
What they did
in this tournament, even after that great win over Stetson. Kennesaw was in that Jacksonville State game. I think all four of these teams' games were close.
For a while anyway. They were certainly competitive. Congrats to the Dolphins. It's been a while since they've been in the semis.
Yeah. Salika, over in the Patriot League, we also had quarterfinals today, and but for a very late run by American to try to get back into game against Navy, we pretty much had four snoozers.
Four snoozers right here, but it's going to lead to, I guess, some more campus sites coming up on Sunday right here. No real surprise that Colgate was able to win comfortably, and even BU holding on in the roof against the Greyhounds of Loyola.
It sets up Lehigh at Colgate, BU and Navy. I think we're on a collision course for this Colgate Navy championship game, though.
That's going to be a good one. I like this Navy team. I would be excited to see Colgate and Navy in the championship. That would be a fun game.
Yeah, but I mean, there really wasn't that much to talk about because of how lousy these games were. Why don't we just go over to the Missouri Valley Conference, where it was opening round today, and we had a real fun game in the first one between Illinois State with their interim head coach and Indiana State. Brian Jones, their interim head coach.
Yeah, good effort there for Brian Jones and his team to not only beat Indiana State tonight, but they also blew them out in the finale, which is always a weird situation when you know you're going to play a team twice in a row, which they knew before the finale that they would play Indiana State again. They were both locked into 8-9. A great game by a couple of their experienced guys. Josiah Strong's had a great career. He had 13 tonight, and Antonio Reeves had 15. And, they got it done defensively. They held the Sycamores to 23% three-point shooting. They got them to shoot a ton of threes. They just went 7-for-30 from deep. And it's a game where Illinois State was down at halftime and really had to piece it together, possession by possession down the stretch, and closed out an ugly, low-scoring win.
What do you think about their chances tomorrow against top seed Northern Iowa?
I can't really see it. I think Northern Iowa's on a mission, and they're on fire. Now, again, you could look at the game on February 15th when Illinois State only lost by two. That was in Redbird Arena, so – I just think Northern Iowa, especially with what they've been through this year and the end of last year, I think it's a day where they win by double digits.
Dorman, the other game, Valpo blew out Evansville, but let's take a look at these other three games tomorrow. Also, Loyola, Chicago, Bradley, Missouri State, Valpo, Drake, Southern Illinois. You seeing any upsets, at least in terms of seeds in those three?
It wouldn't surprise me to see Loyola come out a little scared, a little nervous. There's a lot of pressure on this Rambler team. They've been to the tournament quite a few years in a row, and almost a week ago, 2 weeks ago, they were basically in the tournament. The last 2 weeks have gone bad for them, and all of a sudden they find themselves really right on the cut line. They have to win this Bradley game and probably beat Northern Iowa just to get back on the right side of the bubble. So there's a lot of pressure on Loyola tomorrow. Look for Bradley to come out, try and get a jump on them, see if they can get a lead.
Rocco, Loyola Chicago in, on, or out of the outside the bubble?
I think today they're just barely outside, but I think you can still make the argument they could be in. They're in a precarious situation, but I do think, as David mentioned, a loss to Bradley probably definitely puts them out. I think they got to get a win or two this weekend, see where they land. And of course, if they lose the second game, it's got to be Northern Iowa. Another note just on the upsets, watch out for Southern Illinois, because Drake put out a press release 2 days ago that DJ Wilkins is out for the year. And this will be a big adjustment for Drake to come into the tournament without one of their stars. And the Salukis play awesome defense too. And I think, you know, Brian Mullins is one of the great, you know, young coaches out there. It could be a good weekend for him.
Which means, because the only one we didn't discuss, Valpo is going to be the team that pulls off the big upset tomorrow and knocks off Missouri State.
Who picked Missouri State to win this? Was it?
I did.
You did? Okay. I actually liked that book. I couldn't remember if it was you or Dorman, but like, I think Missouri State will win this.
Injury aside, I think I'll still stick with my pick for Drake right here. And as odd as it sounds, I'll take a member of the Greg McDermott coaching tree and Darren DeVries.
And I'm going to stick with the fact that I don't bet against Bradley at the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament ever. So go Braves. OVC, Stalika. We had I guess it'll be the second round or the quarterfinal round today, which were again a pair of snoozers. I think the second time we went to with snoozers, but SEMO pounded Tennessee State, Morehead pounded Tennessee Tech.
Oh, hot ticket at the OVC.
Exactly what we predicted. But what about tomorrow night when we actually get, especially that late game between Belmont and Morehead, which could be a real good one?
I'll give Tennessee Tech a little bit of credit for at least trying to keep this game close for a half, but if I'm looking at tomorrow night's games, I think the nightcap is going to be the game to watch with Janai Broome and Morehead State taking on Nick Mazinski and Belmont right here. Should be a great battle between those two. And we'll also see how SEMO State does in the opener here. Will they be able to pull off the upset against a Murray State team that isn't going to have near the sense of urgency as these other three teams do?
Yeah, Griggs, I know you want to pick SEMO here because you think Murray may just kind of sleepwalk into this game.
Yeah, and SEMO is pretty hot. It took them a while to get there, but they're there. And, you know, Coach Korn, he's just done an unbelievable job. And I know that, like, this is sort of looking ahead. If they don't get gutted by the transfer portal, this SEMO team is going to be for real next year. And they may be for real right now. Of course, it's – you know, they need to win the conference tournament and they'll probably end up on the 15 or 16 line if they do. But this team is really playing well. They almost beat Murray earlier just less than a week ago.
Yeah. Saturday night, SEMO, from everything that happened, SEMO is really disappointed. They feel like they gave that game away. They thought they had that to win and they let it go. Look for SEMO to come out confident and strong. Like Rocco mentioned, Murray State might be a little blah, knowing they're probably in, they're probably safe. SEMO has some fire. Look for SEMO to give this Murray State racer a big-time game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Rocco, how about that Belmont-Morehead State game? Do you see Morehead pulling off the upset there?
I could see it. I mean, over the last two seasons, Morehead gives Belmont hell every time. And, of course, we know what happened in the championship last year. They split this year, I believe. So it's a game Morehead State will be confident in. And I think Belmont, you know, their emotional roller coaster this year is on the downward track after getting thumped by Murray again late last Thursday. And they've had a bye to think about this game. So it will be interesting. I think it's almost a coin flip, quite honestly.
Yeah, I said it a couple of weeks ago. Morehead actually won the aggregate, so I wouldn't necessarily call an upset if they pull the best of three here.
All right, we're not doing aggregates. Hold on a second. Aggregates. Okay. West Coast Conference.
You got to get soccer.
Loyola Marymount, that score was a 20 points, but this was a close game until about midway through the second half, and then Pacific just decided to stop playing in the first game tonight. But Dorman, first of all, Loyola Marymount now moves on to play BYU tomorrow in the first of the second round games in this monstrosity of a tournament. Could BYU, who's been struggling lately, although did just beat Loyola Marymount heading into this tournament, could BYU lose this game?
Yes. I like Loyola Marymount to actually pull the upset. The way BYU's playing, there's just the defensive intensity has gone away. Their shot selection hasn't been great. Coach Pope, BYU just doesn't seem to be clicking. I think Loyola Marymount, it was good for them to come out tonight, get the win, get their legs under them, get accustomed to the gym. I look for them to give BYU all they can handle tomorrow night.
Yeah, Rocco, do you agree with that? I mean, this Loyola Marymount team heading into the season, we thought they'd be a good team.
Right. I mean, they still have LaPepe and Eli Scott and some good pieces there. So obviously don't have depth. And this is actually the third matchup in 3 weeks between these two. So the first one at LMU went to OT. It was a crazy game that BYU had to pull out and then thumped in Provo by 20. But yeah, it'll be fascinating. Obviously BYU knows what's at stake. I think the best thing that BYU can have is to get everybody rallied from Provo to Las Vegas for this game. They may not want to get there till Saturday, but they need some people in that empty arena tomorrow to push them over the top, because obviously it's do or die time for the Cougars in a game like this.
Greg, you want to tell us about how the San Diego Pepperdine game ended tonight? Because it was a thrilling ending for everybody that's watching this tomorrow morning.
Right, yeah. I mean, it was pretty wild. I don't know if we have time to get to it. What a finish.
San Diego's up 36-32 at halftime as we record this. We are recording a little bit early, so we hit tomorrow night's show. We'll spend a little bit of time about that. The winner of that game will play Portland. Not as important of a game in terms of postseason or NCAA tournament implications at the bottom half of that bracket at this point. That was it for today's games. A few other conferences that will be played tomorrow, though. We are back to the Big South again. It is quarterfinal day in Charlotte, North Carolina. They took today off while the women were playing. Rocco, beginning with a fascinating game at noon between Longwood and the team that beat them during the regular season, North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, I mean, could be pretty interesting, because even in Longwood's success this year, most of their wins are pretty tight. It's not like they're one of those teams that goes out and wins by 15, 20 points every time. They tend to make it pretty interesting. This A&T team withstood a late rally by Radford and got it done in OT, basically dominated the OT. And now they got nothing to lose. It's likely their only Big South tournament as they move on to the CAA. So
unless they come back in a few years.
Yeah. I mean, Greensboro to Charlotte's not very far. They actually are probably a little closer to the venue than Longwood is. So yeah, I mean, it's an early game too, so it's hard to sometimes get your legs going. And A&T is the team that's got a game under their belt. Longwood coming in a little cold. I can see it. I don't want to pick it, but I think it could be interesting.
Salika, what about these other three games? Do you see any upsets in terms of the seedings? Upstate versus Charleston Southern, Winthrop High Point, Gardner-Webb, Campbell.
I would say if there's any chance, it's probably going to be Campbell right here. I don't see it coming from High Point. I don't think Lighton's going to strike twice for Charleston Southern either.
No.
I like the fighting Campbells too. I think Gardner-Webb goes down tomorrow night.
Especially because Griggs picked Campbell to lose on opening day. I think Campbell's going to win a couple more games in this event.
Yeah, because I picked them. and I think Longwood wins. I think it's a Longwood-Winthrop final, which means they're both going down tomorrow.
One other conference kicking off tomorrow. The first time we've seen this bracket so far. It is time to start this SoCon. It is opening round day with East Tennessee State versus Citadel, Mercer versus Western Carolina. First question, Griggs, do you see an upset in terms of seeds in either of these two games?
Potentially. I mean, either one of them could do it. I kind of like the Citadel over East Tennessee State.
It's kind of funny.
If you want to call that an upset.
East Tennessee State entered the season as one of the favorites of this conference, had a really poor year. Western Carolina beat Chattanooga during the regular season. So I think there's something there, too.
Outside of the conference, East Tennessee State's best win probably was at home against Moorhead.
Yeah, it potentially was.
I thought they beat Murray State.
They beat Murray.
Yeah, they beat. Okay. Oh, they did. Okay.
I think that's a little better than beating Moorhead.
It's a lot just better. And Furman had that big win over Louisville.
Yeah, that aged so well.
Yeah. I want to go through each of you here. This is the first time we've looked at the SoCon. Who do you think is going to win this event? Dorman?
Chattanooga, and they're dangerous to win a game in the NCAA tournament as well.
Rocco, you agree with him, especially if the Nuga had a few puzzling losses during the season.
I definitely agree with him on the second point. I think if they can get through this tournament, they are a dangerous team to win a game. They're built to upset a 4 or 5 seed in the NCAAs. My bigger concern is getting out of this bracket. I think Wofford and VMI both present different types of challenges for Chattanooga. They proved that during the season, whichever team they get there. I do feel confident in their first game. And then in the final, if it's Furman, Furman is so streaky. I mean, they could either eke out another win against them, which they did in the regular season, or I could see them even losing by double digits to Furman if they're hot. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a shoe-in. I think most of us want it to be because they do have the best chance to win an NCAA game. But I mean, this is a league I have a lot of respect for and a lot of depth, and it's hard to just pencil them in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that East Tennessee State is exactly a team you roll over if you're Chattanooga either. Right. And Rocco, we did kind of say that in the Summit League last year. You know, we thought that South Dakota State had to win that event because if anybody else said they had no shot at going anywhere, they had still played tournament.
yeah.
Remember that. Yeah. So you smart. Never know. We're so smart. Stalika, no, who do you think wins it?
Furman could win a game in the tournament, all fairness.
Stalika?
It's got to be a shame for Wes Miller that he left Greensboro for Cincinnati. Sometimes the grass is not always greener right here. I could see Furman easily coming out of their half of the bracket right here, and depending on what kind of carnage potentially happens at the top half, I think this might finally be Furman's year to take the crown.
Griggs, how about you?
I'm going to stick with Nuga, because I think that they walk into the semis. And while what Rocco said about the two different types of challenges, I think that they get to the championship game rather easily.
I want to see Nuga win here. They're my pick, but I'm not very confident on the pick. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
That completes all the games that were played today. And the games that are coming up tomorrow in terms of conference tournaments. Let's jump over to our survival board. Where's that at? All right, this is our NCAA tournament survival board, and
yes, it is. There it is.
This is something we do for the selection committee. Yes. We have teams categorized in different ways for them.
Yeah, we've got again who's a lock, which means that's who the committee should take. Who's under consideration? That's who they should debate, and then like who needs the auto bid to get in, and then who's already been eliminated. So, I mean, four different categories. A lot of people wonder, like, how does the committee go about selecting the teams? How do they know who to select? It's this board is there to help them.
Right. So if the committee comes to this board and they say, for example, should we take Alabama? They should.
They're locked.
Okay. Yeah. Because they're locked. If they say, should we take Missouri?
No, you shouldn't even look at Missouri. Like, you know.
If they come and say Texas A&M won at Alabama, maybe we should consider them.
Yeah, they should consider them. Maybe they'll take them. Maybe they won't. So that's
are they considering South Carolina only because a certain coach might get angry at them?
Yeah, he might get very, very angry. They're coming out a little bit. Yeah. And I guess that's it. What the?
Yeah. Let's go over here. This is where we were heading into the day at 316 teams remaining. As a result of today's games, which also and also a few
we teams get from
both the Mid-American and the SWAC that did not get it. It looks like we did. Yeah. I thought that I hope we did. Carver Bible had been showing up in here. Just I crossed our fingers. Maybe they're not on the other screen now. Maybe they're already in the field at this point. as a result of today's games, though, this is where we are. Wow. Teams left. Big jump today.
Yeah.
Under 300.
It'll actually be down to 291 by the end of the night. The loser of this West Coast Conference game that's going on right now will fall off as well. So tomorrow night's show will be down to 291. On that note, what else do we have to do here?
I don't think. Oh, yeah. The rivalry creator.
Rivalry creator. Let's go to that. All right, this is our Hoops HD rivalry creator.
Yes.
Again, anybody has two teams that they think are a rival and should have a named rivalry game, let us know. We've got a computer program here that automatically figures it out for us.
Okay.
For example, if you said, what about Southern University against Idaho?
Well, does it work? Yeah, you know, say you had like the St. Francis, Brooklyn, and LIU, or you know.
Well, I was saying Southern versus Idaho, though.
Southern versus Idaho. Okay. This is not a rivalry. Oh my God!
If this was a rivalry, this would be the Soho Challenge.
Yeah.
And now, a little known fact about this Challenge: these teams are 8 miles apart, and they're at the NCAA tournament.
So in the words of the Who, that's from Soho down to Brighton. The Soho, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
That must be. That is the Soho Challenge. But I guess, you know what? There could be others involving a team like Idaho. You know, I mean, Idaho has had been on hard times lately. They've really not been that good. But, you know, what if they were to play Grace? What if they were to play St. Joe's?
Okay.
Let's ask what Idaho and St. Joe's would be.
Okay.
The Hojo Challenge. Okay.
And that's a good trophy. Yeah, that's a good one. And Idaho, like...
Well, you know, let's give St. Joe's a more local team. But what if they were playing Monmouth? That's not that far away, right?
Yeah. No, that's not that far
away. The Mojo Challenge. I don't even know what to say anymore.
It would have been tough to do the Hojo Challenge considering those hotels have been retired for a little while now.
let's just go to final thoughts. Don't really want to start us off on final thoughts. No more rival creator.
Really. Sure will. Just in the either last night or tonight, these teams all lost. Most of them, besides Oregon, weren't bad losses, but just when they had a chance to really secure themselves and make sure going into the weekend they were on the right side of the bubble, they all decided to dump out. Xavier, Indiana, Notre Dame, Wyoming, Oregon, Michigan. The bottom of the bubble is wide open. There's teams that are moving up. We will see in conference tournaments either this weekend or early next week. Teams that get hot have got chances, and there are spots available because these teams that were looking to secure themselves all decided to kill themselves. So spots are available. Let's see who gets hot.
I agree. Salika.
Well, it's going to start getting a little serious tomorrow night with our first set of semifinals in the Ohio Valley. So this is going to be the first chance of a potential bid thief right here. Can Southeast Missouri State start to make somebody's life miserable on the bubble? We'll see.
Yeah, I think they need to, considering how weak the bubble is becoming. The tournament needs a bid stealer.
Rocco.
Yeah, another game going on tomorrow we haven't touched on yet because it's not part of a tournament is the Toledo Rockets will be hosting Bowling Green with the opportunity to do something that they've never done in school history. That would be win back-to-back outright titles in the MAC. They've won a share of three straight back between 78 and 81, but this will be the first time they can go back-to-back outright ever. And a great dangerous team behind super sophomore Ryan Rollins with great pieces around him. Ray J. Dennis, a transfer from Boise State. JT Shoemate still there and Cedric Milner Jr., a dangerous quad group of four lethal shooters and scorers. And, you know, I'm kind of hoping they can pull it off because they've had a great run here. And also at the end of tomorrow night, we will have a MAC bracket because it is the final day of MAC play. Looking forward to that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, in fact, you could check out all those conference tournament brackets up top there. We just added in the MEAC and the America East went up today as well. And coming Saturday, we're going to have almost every other bracket up there. They will all be released. Also, check out the Survivor Board up there. But, Griggs, you want to finish out the show?
Yeah, Chad, you're rarely right about anything. I mean, everything you say, especially when you disagree with me, it's just completely wrong.
Go ahead.
But you were right about something today.
Okay, of course.
Yes, as you observed, all these conference tournaments that are at campus sites all tip at the same time. I think we had 22 games tip at 7 p.m. tonight. They need to do a better job of staggering the start times.
You know what? When you have four quarterfinals on campus sites, let's go 6, 6:30, 7, 7:30.
Yeah.
Why not? Why have them all at the same exact time? It doesn't really make sense.
Right. And it's not good for viewers. You're going to get more viewers if you do that.
I'm not saying you need to be 2, 4, 6, and 8, but let's get a little bit of a stagger,
yeah,
a 20-30 minute stagger. On that note, though, I want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night after all the games are over at some ungodly hour with another video notebook. But on behalf of David Griggs and John Stalica, David Dorman, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.